Welcome, Bobby Roundtree, to the Summer Room. And we have questions, not so much of personal reading, more universal questions that we can have this opportunity to talk to you about, Bobby, and ask you any questions that might come through. We had the topic of how to reveal your inner psychic. And I found that a lot of questions that were coming through for me were sort of beyond that as well as that. And so we can start there. And there's some other questions to throw in the mix. You said that everybody has psychic energy running through them. So what does that mean?
Well, I believe that everyone is psychic. Everyone has those intuitive abilities because, well, I do. And I believe that everyone that ever I'm in a room with has them as well. It's always shown to me that way. There are just different levels. And there's different things you can do with your psychic abilities. Being psychic doesn't mean that you have to be a psychic reader or go in that way or even live in the weirdo world, which is where I am. Anywho, you can use your psychic abilities in everyday stuff in life because I use it for everything I do in my life. I do use it with my parenting. I use it with my, obviously with my work because it is my work, but I use it in every relationship I have in life because it's actually something I believe we're supposed to use. At one time, we communicated psychically and we've lost that. We told ourselves we are unable to, and therefore we believe ourselves unable to. It's unlocking it that I think we are, as a human condition, becoming actually more in tune with our psychic abilities. I don't know that we're becoming more psychic. The psychic abilities that we all have are actually coming to the surface a little bit more now.
So is psychic ability the same as intuition?
Yeah, I think intuition is our logic word. It's our real world word. People call me an intuitive, and I don't argue that point. I think, yes, that makes perfect sense. And everybody puts it in different words that makes most sense to them, because you want to be as comfortable as you can in what you're able to do.
Just clarifying the difference again between our lost loved ones and spirit guides, what the difference is there?
Because our spirit guides, as far as I know, have never been people we've known in this life. They are people we either knew in previous lives or we knew in the in-between. Because the in-between is kind of your life between lives. And that space is where we learn. That's where our enlightenment is, where we try to raise our spirit. And I believe, from what I understand from my own spirit guides, we meet them there. I know one of my spirit guides was in a previous life with me. The other five that I work with during my readings, I just know now. And I was just given a new one probably about 6 to 8 months ago, because the more I grow, the more they show themselves to me. I have nine, but I've only met six. I haven't met the other three. But the dead, those are souls that you're attached to in a completely and absolutely different way. The guides are watching you go through life and they are on the contract with you. With the dead, these are souls that you're attached to, that you keep reliving things with. It's kind of like your clan and your group. I always think of it as a theater group in that all the players, each time they come down or they do a play, they play different roles. Like someone who played your mother in a past, say I was in the Nymo theater group and I played Ophelia and a woman played my mother-in-law. Then the next play that we did, she played my sister. So it's the same thing in life. That's the way it's shown to me, that someone who was your mother in this life could have been your sister in the last life, and you chose her to be your mother in this life so you could work out some stuff with her and work out some stuff for you. The way it's always shown to me is we're down here trying to work stuff out. And that's a hard one to get your head around, that this isn't home, that you can leave here and go over there. And it's actually much more fine than here because we have so much conflict here.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot being worked out all the time. Somebody who isn't with us today, I had sent her information about the Summer Room and she wrote back. I think she'd listened to some of our podcasts that we've done already. And she somehow got the message that the dead wanted us to join them. And I was like, no, I've never heard Bobby say that.
No, I think what she probably took is me telling you guys that the dead are okay with us dying. They come to us and say, it's okay. Dying isn't a bad thing. You need not fear it. But they don't say, come and join us. The choice to come and join us is the choice to give up. And when you make that choice, you actually go to a different sort of place than you do if you die in it, not of your own. And making that choice can be actually a lifetime of smoking, choosing to get into the car behind the wheel when you are intoxicated. That's suicide.
That's true. What happens when somebody dies, you know, who we're very close with, and we feel maybe a presence for a while at first, and while we're doing a project that they would be quite supportive and engaged with us, and then that presence or that feeling of presence sort of dissipates, and then, you know, what happens then? Are they gone, or are they just off doing something else, or is my psychic ability dissipating? How would you suggest going forward?
That's an excellent question because it happens all the time. People will feel a very strong presence right at the beginning of the death, and then they'll go years and feel like I can't connect with them anymore. They've gone, they've ascended, and in a way they have ascended, but the way in which they're communicating with you is different. And the way the dead show me those initial communications, it's not entirely the person that has passed. It is somebody else who has been over there longer, lending them power so that they can let you know they're okay right away. For instance, when my cousin passed away, right away, my aunt had a ton of different things happen in her house, having to do with lights and things, in the week after he passed, and then dormant for 2 years. But he was with me for those 2 years because he had raised to a point where he couldn't reach them anymore. And the little bugger used to come and be right there in my face when I was driving. Such a brat. He was a brat when he was alive. He was a brat now that he's crossed over. Because people don't change that much. They always show it to me like they've lifted up a little bit and they're ascended a little bit and they're still communicating with you. It's just not the way you expected them to. So it's hard to see and it's hard to feel. It's like my dad came to me right away after he passed. He was headless, but he still came to me as an opaque being to try to let me know that he was going to be all right. So I was 16, I was a bit of a mess. But every dream I had consequently for about 2 years after that, I was chasing him. Or he was on the other side of a window. There was always a chasm in between us. And that had more to do with his growing ability to communicate with me and my ability to accept the fact that I was communicating with him. Because that's a really big part of it. One of the reasons I can hear so well is because there's nothing inside of me that says I cannot.
That's really the key. It is like exercising a muscle that way then, because you're developing that trust and you're developing being tuned into that ability. It's sort of like noticing something. The more you notice, the more you notice, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of like working in a profession. When you've worked in a profession long enough, you don't need to be told what to do in certain instances. You have an idea of this leads to this and that leads to that, and this is where I'm going with it. Because it all has to do with the way you look at it. The minute you wake up in the morning, you're being spoken to in your head. The whole time, the energy is all around you. The energy is within your whole body. I actually woke up today not thinking I could do this because the growth on the back of my head had shifted and moved and was causing me a great deal of discomfort. And then I had to take a minute with myself and tell myself, okay, you know why that's happening? It's been happening because things are exciting and you're getting a whole bunch of information because other people are going to be wanting to talk to you and find out what's going on. And then I got pain, and that's all part of my psychic energy. It's very weird. It comes in your hands. It comes in your guts. It's all over the place because you have a subtle body and a body, and the subtle body is spoken to by your psychic energy, and it tells your body and your mind what the devil is going on because you might not be paying attention to it. In fact, we never pay attention to it. It's not part of what we're taught to do.
Yeah, that's true. We're not really encouraged. That is sort of a general question for you, because I know before when we talked, you talked about your grandmother who had died early from arthritis because she also had a lot of psychic energy that was running through her that she wasn't really able to express. And I think it's really important that we stay paying attention to how we move energy through us. Like when we feel energy, we can either stop breathing or, you know, minimize our breathing or be worried about it or just feel like we can't do that for some reason. Or we can't express the way we would if we weren't feeling held back in our own minds by somebody else or just in our own beliefs about ourselves or what we can do. It's not a minor decision to not let the energy flow through us. It is really important.
It makes a massive difference in your physical health, in your mental health, and in your spiritual health. I know in my grandmother's case, her life was just so hard. My grandfather beat her. When he was around, he beat her. Other than that, he was off just being an alcoholic person. And she was left with four young boys in the 60s. And that was difficult. There was no welfare system back then. We didn't have these things until the 70s. So her life was so difficult that she was unable to realize all the energy and everything that flows through her. Had she been able to realize the energy, her life probably would not have been as difficult. Because faced with a person like my grandfather, if I were her, I'd block his entrance into my home. I'd do everything I could with every psychic energy I have. When I don't want someone in my life, I actually will watch them walk away, walk away, walk away continually. And they do. They disappear out of my life altogether. Every little thing that we have that is a bit of a struggle is usually a struggle because something we are supposed to learn from it is coming in there. And if you discontinue the struggle, if you release, allow yourself to see what's going on and then move through it, you actually come out knowing what you were supposed to learn, plus gaining a massive amount of positive psychic energy out of it.
So I've got a question here for Bobby. Does she always have people with her or does she choose her timing?
I try to choose my timing. The guides are always with me though. But the dead, especially ones of people who I've read several times, and especially men, will come to me in the shower. And they don't care that I'm naked. That doesn't matter to them because that sort of thing doesn't even mean anything anymore. The physicality of stuff, sexuality is actually spiritual. It's actually completely different. It's actually what it's supposed to be. And when I was a little kid, I had absolutely no peace. Meditation gave me peace. That's why I try to get people to meditate, because meditation made it so I could say, okay, you guys, I know when it's you and I know when it's me, and I know how to tell you, okay, this isn't the time. I can do that with them now. My guides, not as much, because I feel as though I work for them.
Bobby said last time that we amuse the dead. I take that to mean they are never alone. When we communicate to someone who has died, are we speaking only to them or are we communicating to or with the crowd? Are there a lot of others around?
Yeah, it depends on how long they've been there. When my dad comes, it's just my dad. When I'm sitting with you, Lynn, it is the group because the whole family comes and you want all of them. But if it was just, yeah, if it's just you and the person, it can be just you and the person. When you come with me, it's unless you have a mother, because mothers are like this. You do not mess with a mom on the other side, especially if it's her son I'm reading. Moms and sons, it's crazy. What is that? I don't understand. One-on-one is the way that people can do it with their loved ones. But if a loved one is very, very new, they will in all likelihood have a grandparent or somebody else that's been over there a longer time just behind them to lend them the energy so that they can talk to you.
So they're lending energy to, I wondered.
They show me a lasso around the new people's waist. It looks like the Wonder Woman truth lasso. And then I know, oh, this is a new person. And the other person on the other end has been over there for 10 years or more. And they're adding their energy to that person. Oh. They often will show me new people. And they'll show me an older person there doing this, which is a theater term, showing them the ropes. They have little things that they do. Yeah, being new on the other side.
That is funny. Okay, so the idea that we, living on the earth still, are amusing the dead, or that we're sort of their entertainment. I mean, in a way, because we at times believe that it's so hard, like we would maybe take offense to them being amused by our challenges.
Well, because they can see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we get, actually this morning, this was bugging me, so I was in a state. And I'm sure my guys are like, oh, settle down, crazy lady, because you get yourself all worked up with what's right there and what you perceive to be the, when they can actually see, no, no, that's not an obstacle. They can see it from the upward view, like you could a mouse in a maze. Because you see a mouse in a maze and you think, turn left, because you can see where it's going. They see stuff you do not see. It's kind of like, you know those on TV when they see people in the heat goggles, how you can just see colors of a person and the energy? That's kind of what they see, rather than the gross realities of the earth.
That's a good reminder. Yeah, I had it described years ago, sort of like being in a dream or sort of a film, like you're saying. Yeah, sort of like a heat sensor.
Yeah, yeah. And the times that I've been taken to the other side, it's always been dark, which I've always thought weird. Like the lighting is dark, like it's twilight all the time. And I think it's because I'm aligned and I'm in a dream and I'm being taken there and I'm not supposed to see too much because it almost looks like this. Like they've done this on my eyes. I don't understand why that is, but it is. And each and every time, because my father's taking me there, my old boyfriend is taking me there, my grandmother has taken me to what I believe to be the waiting room.
Oh, yes?
Yes, and there was a rainbow walkway to that.
Oh, a rainbow walkway.
It looked just like the rainbow sidewalks, the way the colors are this way. So you walk down this way. It reminds me of the Elbert Road, but a rainbow.
Okay, I got another question here. What can we do to develop our inner psychic abilities besides noticing little weird incidents and more? Oh, and meditation, you just mentioned too. Part of it is just being still enough, right? Because we're all keeping so busy all the time.
Yeah, and well, without meditation, it's really, really, really almost impossible to know the inner you. I honestly believe that. That it wasn't until I discovered meditation that I was able to get them to stop that. They were constantly in my head yelling and screaming, changing time for me, changing the way I feel, changing the way I hear, and so much in my head. And then I started meditation. And when I was able to root myself and find the inner parts of me, because that's what meditation gives me. I meditate with my chakras. I do each and every chakra all the way up every day. Before I actually started with you guys, I owned myself up. I do all the sounds of each chakra, and then I say om, and then I do the sounds of each chakra. And to me, that tells them, okay, Bobby's on. They know I've just turned on the fluorescent light that is my spine, and they know they're supposed to come. With anyone else, that's you set your intention. My intention was to bring forward everybody that needed to be heard by everybody who was coming to be hearing things. So if you want to do it for yourself, then you can say things as simple as, what do I need to know today? Just say that over and over again, and they'll start to give you little bits of information. Meditation helps you to figure out the way you see, because I see and hear and feel the dead and spirit guides a certain way. That has to do with who I am as a human being. The dead have certain ways that they show me stuff. The dead will even actually show me that there's like a little legend at the doorway when they're about to go out to see me. It says, okay, the medium today is Bobby. Bobby thinks this and this means this, this and this means that. They know. Like every dead person knows that when they do this, they're telling me I'm right. I'm on the nose. That's their thing that they do. It's set out by me and it's set out by them. And it's all done through my meditation. Because when I'm meditating, I stop being Bobby and I start being, I don't know who she is, the spirit person that I go back and into. And then I can let go of my mind and the everyday stuff of the earth. The everyday stuff of the earth is the stuff that makes you think you're not psychic. It makes you think that everything you see is finite and everything you see has an explanation and a logical thing behind it, which is not entirely true. Some things are amazing and fanciful, and there is so much more to you than even you know, because you have a spirit inside of you that may have actually seen other lives, other countries, other places, other people, other experiences, and it might be the reason why you have asthma now. Or it might be the reason why every time you see a dog, you go, oh my gosh, and you don't know why, but maybe there's something that your soul went through and that soul is trying to tell the mind now so that the mind can go, okay, I'm going to stop that fear. I'm going to marry that with peace. And then that's your soul will be that much more rested the next time you go.
Having a conversation with my dad years ago about whether we did get incarnated or not, or if it was just a one-shot deal, like a one life. And he said, well, if we thought we had many lives, then we might just throw away a life, you know? And I said, well, I think that if we thought we had more than one life, we would realize how important it was to treat each one preciously, because it was going to help us graduate to the next one. Like, they're not just standalones or one-offs, right?
Excellent point. An excellent way of looking at the same thing in two different perspectives. And I, to honorable to your father, oh, I do believe your perspective each and every time, because you think about your life, how many times have you screwed up already? My goodness gracious. Like, how many things do you ever think about? Oh, golly sakes, if I had only done this or this or this or this. We always think of our lifetime in decades. I know I do. I think of my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, my 50s. Well, I'm not at my 50s yet. I'm just in the 40s right now. But each decade is completely different. Each decade marks a period of growth. If you can put that into lives in the same sort of way, that each life marks a period of growth. And I honestly believe it's in a humankind sort of way as well. That we're not just here figuring this out for ourselves. We're actually figuring this out for each other, because we deserve each other. And one of the things I believe that I am here to actually yell a lot is be nice to each other, be kind to each other. I think each and every time we go back up and we realize, oh, golly sakes, I should have been nice. I should have done this. And actually the people that were important were the people that were beside me and all those sorts of things. That's what we learn when we die. So then when we come back, we're either doomed to repeat it, or learn from the mistakes we have and make it better each and every time. And every time you make you better, you make the guy next to you better, because people feed off of the good energy, because they also feed off the bad energy.
Well, and when you're kind to somebody, you usually feel better.
Yeah, you've started an energy. It really, really makes a difference. I think another thing that people have to understand when they start to go into psychic abilities is it's energy. And you are energy. And I actually believe that that energy runs through your blood.
Just going back to spirit guides, you said that you have a lot, 9 spirit guides, I think you said, and you've only met 6 of them. So I don't know how many everybody has. I was wondering, though, are there some spirit guides who are unassigned, like who are available to help, and can they help even if they're not assigned, or are they all assigned to somebody?
Yeah, that's an amazingly excellent idea. And honestly, it's one I have to ask myself, because anytime I ever deal with spirit guides, they are attached to the person that I'm reading, and my spirit guides work with those spirit guides, and everybody works together. I've never seen unassigned spirit guides, because the way that it's always shown to me, there's a hierarchy. There's us. There's the dead, there's spirit guides, then there's angels, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff that it's just that I'm starting to learn. But before this, they would actually close the door on me. They actually would close the door. It looked like a cloud door. They'd be like, yes, you can't see any farther than that, because it's a privilege to get to see it. And I have to prove myself worthy of seeing it. I can't take what they're showing me and use it in a nasty way, or well, I won't see anything anymore. I would think, I would hope, I would stop seeing things. But as far as I know, I've never met a rogue spirit guide. But at the same time, I would say that something like that would be something like an ascended spirit or an ascended master, somebody sent with great purpose from a much higher power, because I honestly believe there are higher powers. Yeah, there's nothing that tells me there isn't. I believe in higher powers. I believe there are checks and balances. There are things over top of us. So, but I do not know if there's spirit guides, but I know there's spirit angels. That I know for sure.
Oh.
A spirit guide is a spirit that's still paying their dues with you. The 6 that travel with me, only one, well, maybe 2 of them, I'd be like, woo! The other ones, I'm like, yeah, meet you. Yeah, you're dead. I'm not. That's your big thing. That's much it, if that makes any sort of sense.
So what's the difference with the angels?
Angels, it seems, we're never human beings. They are a different sort of entity all in of themselves, and they're so big and awe-inspiring. You rarely see them, and sometimes when they do come near you, it is like you can't breathe. I have had moments where I'm going to suffocate. You guys got to back up. Oh, my gosh. And I've actually had those moments where I can't get my breath in, and it's because they're overwhelming creatures, and they have to be evoked. They will not intervene without being asked to intervene, which I don't get that one. Seems rather unfair, but I think it's more knowing the light is there and asking the light to come to you. That's what that is all about, because we all have light and darkness within us. It's just, which one are you going to pay the most attention to?
That's where it comes down to just our choices that we're making every day as to what we are paying attention to.
Absolutely.
So in my directives for the end of my life, can I put your name and contact down for somebody in my family to contact you? To make it easy for me to communicate?
Yeah, good idea.
That's a great idea. If you need me, just contact.
Yes. Contact Bobby.
Yeah, care of Bobby Roundtree.
I can't even imagine I got written into people's wills.
No, this will be a standalone document apart from my will.
Okay.
I've actually had some quite lively discussions with people since listening to Bobby last time regarding heaven and hell. Changed my thinking, and growing up in a very strict Catholic household and being taught blind faith and definitely heaven and hell, you changed my perspective and enabled me, like I say, to have some very lively discussions with people, which is great.
I'm glad. Thank you. I would love to have lively discussions with people about heaven and hell.
Well, it's really what you create, right?
It's so interesting because it's so individualized as well. I believe that we need organized religions because we have different types of people and everyone needs to believe in something bigger than them. When you meditate, when you do this, do you sometimes feel like, oh my God, why didn't I not do this 30 years ago when it was first called to you?
Every day I wonder why I don't do it, yeah.
Yeah, they say because it was kept from you, that things in your life kept the metaphysical at bay and away and things like that. Easier, more logical choices were presented, so that's what you did. Because it's so much more logical to go with the earthly world, to be constantly thinking about every thought I have in my head means something, everything that does, everything means something when you're in the metaphysical world. It's exhausting. You can't just poo-poo things in the metaphysical world. You have to look at what they mean to you. Rather than in the logical world, you can just poo-poo and shove aside almost everything and just pertain to the things that could possibly pertain to you in the way that you want. That's not the way the world works. And that's not the way it's going to work for you, they say. They always show me doer meditations because not everyone can sit silently for even 5 minutes. Think of a crazy human being I am. I've been doing it for 20 years. And then still, I can be in the middle of my meditation and go, oh, sure. Oh, come on back, because I start drifting off into somewhere else because I'm crazy. So I think I'm a good example for being able to put a crazy brain into a meditation. But you can also knit or hike or garden, anything where you're doing something repetitive and your mind is stuck in one little space where you can actually clear and listen. That is a meditation.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you get to that flow state. Right? Like when you're totally absorbed in an activity and the chattering shuts off.
Usually when you solve problems, or you get these great ideas and things like that. That's exactly right. Yeah. When you talk about that flow state, if you meditate enough, there are times when actually I can feel like my body and my spirit are separating from each other. It's not just a me thing, because I've talked to other people who meditate. It's the best high you're ever going to get. It's so amazing. I cannot say enough about meditation and how it makes you feel. I wish I could sit. I don't know why they don't teach it in kindergarten. Maybe it should be in elementary schools. Because it used to be one of my kids' elementary schools. They would have a 20-minute mindfulness time.
That's cool.
Yeah, my kids did so well in that school. Their kids were happier in that school. The teachers were happier. We need it. We need to sit down, shut up, and just be. We're so much more than that. We are 360.
Meditation will bring you what?
Your 360. It'll bring you fully into who you are so that you know myself better. I don't think I could know myself without my meditation. And there's no way I would have been able to hold on to the debt. They would have made me crazy because they were doing that. They were doing their darndest.
Partly how my psychic ability shows up is when I wake up in the morning and I have this idea. And it's just like, wow, where did that idea come from? And I go with it and I make it so.
Going from dream to waking, that dream you have is your biggest psychic state. That's why so many people do TM or lucid dreaming. I have clients that I do not understand because they are from other countries and their accents are so thick that I can't really understand what they're saying. So when they say things, I will close my eyes and say, answer their question, please. And I will get the answer to their question, even though I do not know what the question was to begin with. Because I don't matter. Well, I do, but it doesn't matter if I understand, because I forget everything too. Everything that we're saying now, I'll forget it because it doesn't matter if I do. I am just a communicator. They want you to think of yourself in that way when it comes to your chakras, that you can sit and go, I want to open my chakras. Help me do that. And they will say, okie dokie. And they will help you in a way that makes the most sense to you. Because your guides knew you before you were even born. They know the true and real you. And they're walking around behind you, hoping to God you fulfill what you said you were going to do. That's what they're doing. They're just walking around going, no. But so I explain it to you. And therefore now they will move it to something different so that I can get a better understanding. And so can you. Because they'll give us stuff thinking, oh, they're going to get that. Or they'll be able to figure it out from there. And then if we can't, they have to pivot. They have to do something a little bit different. I don't understand that. But I have to tell you everything I see, because otherwise there's just no point to me.
Thank you so much, Bobby. And it's been a cozy little summer room this time. Great.
Thank you so much.
Very informative. I appreciate your energy, Bobby. It's amazing. I can feel it. Thank you, Lynn, for putting it together.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.